Artek, inventors of Zero-G Gait and Balance System. Since 2008, Zero-G has been changing how physical medicine is delivered to patients by getting them involved in intensive therapy earlier and safer.
This is an APTA podcast.
Welcome to Finding My Way, an APTA podcast series exploring the twists and turns of physical therapy careers and the lessons that are learned along the way. I'm Jason Bellamy, APTA's Vice President of Strategic Communications, and for this series, I sat down with 10 physical therapists at National Student Conclave and asked them similar questions to learn what they thought they'd be doing when they were in PT school and what they ended up doing instead. This series is designed for DPT and PTA students, but each episode includes great tips for anyone trying to find their way in their career. In this episode, I talked to Ryan Johnson, who has learned to work really hard and love every second of it. Jason Bellamy at NSC 2017, and I'm joined by Ryan Johnson. And the first question is the easiest. In 30 seconds or less, what do you do now?
I work at a cash-based practice where I treat 32 hours a week. I teach continuing education about 10 to 14 weekends a year around the country. And I'm a co-owner of three different clinics, Nashville, Portland, Oregon, and Orange County, California.
Where did you go to PT school? And at the time you were in PT school, what did you think you were going to be doing? Because I'm guessing it might not be what you're doing now.
I went to PT school at UCSF /SFSU in San Francisco. When I was there, I was thinking I was primarily just going to be working at an outpatient ortho. I didn't know I would get sort of jumped into private practice ownership, working at a cash-based practice, and all of that so quickly in my career. And a lot of that just really took on changes as I progressed through school and got in continuing education courses while in school, and then out of school through my residency and fellowship, really.
So I'm sure if I asked you to trace that from graduation to now, you know, you could give me a long story, but in general, what was the arc? I mean, how suddenly one day are you looking to start cash-based practices? How does that happen?
Honestly, that's pretty simple. When I got into the fellowship program, the fellowship that I was working at is at a cash-based practice, so I pretty much got thrown in at, you know, under 2 years out of school, having to treat in a cash-based practice and learn how to market myself. And man, that was a challenge. When I first started, I was like, if I survive in this practice for 3 months and I'm still an employee of this practice after 3 months, I've done something right. And it just slowly grew to where I had confidence in the value of what we offer as physical therapists to the profession and the value of being able to treat some patients for an hour instead of shorter, which insurance dictates shorter treatments. One of the practices that I'm involved with takes insurance, and they have to be, you know, 15, 30-minute treatments. And it's not that they're trying to do a disservice, it's just that they can't do any longer. So we're at the cash-based practice, we're able to treat longer, and that value really grew to where now I'm like, I can help other people start these practices. And so I come in with the business model and the branding and everything and help them get going. And it feels like a very good win-win situation, which is my goal always.
So right now, somebody who wanted to do this could go to you. You could be a mentor or you could give them formal education. But your experience in getting there, did it feel like a formal education process, or were you suddenly realizing I need to learn how to market myself and you found somebody who knew? I mean, how did you find your mentors? Who were your sources of information along the way?
It was a mix. Some of it, you've got to just gain the confidence in yourself. And there's really no shortcut to that other than just treating a lot of patients and continuing to feel like you're able to provide something that somebody else might have not provided before. But honestly, there was some mentorship in it. My fellowship directors, Dean Hazama and Brad Gilden and Greg Johnson and Vicky Johnson, all really took me through how to talk to patients in a way that lets them understand the full value of what you can provide versus just treating them for what they're doing. But saying, hey, physical therapy can help out with pelvic floor issues or other, oh, my wife has those, no way. And learning how to generate those conversations while in the treatment room, their mentorship was invaluable in that.
So how long did it take in going through all this before you talked about confidence and everything? How long did it feel like you were faking it? And then when did you feel that you really like, nope, I've got this? Not that you've ever perfected, it's always evolving. But when did you feel like you'd kind of arrived?
Man, I'd say a year after I finished my fellowship, I was still coming to that. I've been working at the practice that I did my fellowship in now for over 5 years. And I'd say the first 2.5 to 3 years was still growing into that confidence of, I am a valuable person here. There's always somebody who's better than you, always. And recognition of when somebody's better than you is very key, and knowing when to refer a patient to that person or knowing that somebody is able to help them maybe in a way that you're not, but it also drives me. So I was sometimes self second guessing myself because I was surrounded by excellent clinicians and I knew they were better than me, but I wanted to be as good as them. And so it's just a constant daily drive of being very intentional about doing everything I can to better my practice and continuing to emulate and try to strive to be as good as they are.
So along the way, did you get any memorable good advice, any memorable bad advice?
Probably one of the best advice I ever got was from my residency director, Mike Baum, in Eugene, Oregon. And he had been teaching a continuing education course. Flight got canceled out of San Francisco, I believe, and he had to drive from San Francisco up to Eugene, Oregon overnight, got there at like 8 in the morning, and just started treating directly at 8 and treated straight through lunch because he'd missed somebody before. And I was like, Mike, is there anything I can do to help? And he basically just said, Ryan, I love what I do. I love treating patients. And when I don't love treating patients, I'm not going to do it anymore. But I, as long as you love it, you don't work a day in your life. And I find that that's completely true for me. I've found a way that I treat patients using hands-on manual therapy, thinking a little bit outside the box. Every patient's a little puzzle, a little something different. It allows me to enjoy the process of problem solving. And I love going to work every day. I love working with patients and seeing if there's something that can be untapped in their, you know, existing potential.
Is there evolution in this? In other words, is the model you have now the model you want it to maintain? Obviously, you'll need to adapt. Or do you look at this and say, 5 years from now, there's a place I want to be that I'm not yet? Is there sort of something you're chasing at this moment? Or are you sort of trying to ride the current system and adapt as it comes?
It depends on whether you're talking clinically or if you're talking business ownership. With the business ownership model, I'm looking to ride the current system but continue to find more people to invest in opening practices with. And those people are the people who have gone through the Institute of Physical Art and gotten their certification in functional manual therapy or either done a fellowship in functional manual therapy. Those are the individuals that I trust to treat me and anybody in my family. And if I trust them to treat them, I want to empower them as clinicians to be able to own a private practice because we really don't get enough mentorship in how to run a business. And I want them to be valued at a high level. And so I love to come in and help them. But when it comes clinically, I'm always looking for the next thing to continue to learn. I've got multiple continuing education classes I take every year. I like to get new approaches. There's always something out of every class that you can learn and get value from. And so I'd say really the next couple places I'm going is I'm doing some Postural Restoration Institute continuing class education classes, and I'm doing a full week dissection with Thomas Myers of Anatomy Trains where we're doing fresh cadaver dissections in Arizona. I'm really excited about that because every dissection I've ever done has been embalmed with formaldehyde and just ruins the connective tissue. It's going to be the first time I get to really see those lines of tissue.
So when you think about the people who have been mentors in your career, or even when you were a student, how did you find those? Was it always a formal process? Did you know you'd found a mentor right away? Were you looking for mentors? Did they just sort of emerge and you realize you have one?
My answer to this is an unfair answer. The reason it's an unfair answer is because I was sort of bred into it. My parents are the co-founders and co-directors of the Institute of Physical Art and developed functional manual therapy, which is the approach that I use to treat patients. I got sort of just handed into this family with the IPA, and all the instructors and everybody are so passionate about what they do and just love patient care and doing everything they can do to help patients, that passion just was poured onto me. And so it's hard for me to talk about how you should do it if you don't have parents who happen to be in the industry, but I can tell you I'm out there constantly at conferences trying to meet people, trying to inspire them to find something that matters to them. Maybe it would help a little bit to say, I initially was thinking about being a medical doctor because I wanted to be cooler than my parents. I wanted to like one-up them. It's the best choice I ever made with my life to not be scared to go into the same profession as my parents, but do it for me. I love this profession for me because I found, taking a step back, physical therapists get into the profession typically because we love to help people. That's the main reason, and that's why we're such a great group of individuals and why I love so many PTs. But we want to help people. I've now found a way to help people that I love utilizing. So the way that I treat with functional manual therapy allows me to love how I help people, not just loving helping people. And it's finding that thing that really makes you inspired and being able to start moving towards that and finding people who are passionate. And I don't know, I just try to always connect with people and get them connected with other clinicians that I know are passionate and say, hey, you should really meet this person. Go talk to them, sit down, have a beer with them, maybe get in and shadow them and start finding connections. And so even though it was easy for me to have a connection, I try to do it and pass it off as much as I can to help other people get those connections.
So the love of it, I'm sure, is part of it. But if somebody looks at what you've done and the trajectory that you've been on and your ability to sort of, you know, create these clinics according to your passions and designs, and they say, you know, I want the recipe for that. If we define what you've done as success, what's been the secret of your success? What's allowed you to do the things that you've done?
Well, it's hard work. I mean, it's no joke. And if you ask any of my friends who really know me, they say I'm a workaholic and I work too much. It goes back to the thing before, though. It doesn't feel as much like workaholic when I really enjoy it. But I mean, I'm literally working 60 plus hour weeks with between all the different things that I do, with whether it's developing a new continuing education course, running the back end stuff of businesses, treating patients in the clinic, just everything adds up. But I don't feel burnt out because of it just feels fun to me. It's like a hobby. And I think there's really no way to get past hard work. I think if you don't go out and push yourself with everything you've got to be really good at it, I think you can just coast and get by and, you know, be a great clinician, help some people. But if you want to start opening practices, setting yourself apart as a cash-based practice, all of that, get mentors, get people who you think are better than you to hang out with and be like, I want to be able to do what that person does. And just push yourself and don't get bummed out. I mean, every single day I'm showing that I'm not as good as somebody else. Every single day, but it drives me to be better. It doesn't beat me down and make me feel defeated.
So you sort of answered what's going to be my last question, which is some student who's listening to this, they're just trying to survive school. They know there's this big world beyond that they need to be prepared for, but they're trying to get through day by day. But what would your advice be for what they should do now to begin to prepare for all that tomorrow will bring, no matter what their passion is, what kind of clinician they want to be? What would your advice be for what they should do now to prepare for tomorrow?
I think I have to circle back around to that same thing about finding somebody who's really good at what you want to do. I mean, I've got one person who she wanted to treat animals. She wanted to treat dogs. And she had to find other people who were good at doing physical therapy for dogs. But she went home from work every day with a smile on her face because she was doing what she wanted to do. So find what makes you happy. Find what doesn't feel like work. You know what work is documentation. Everybody has to do it, and it's the worst thing ever. But the actual treating of whoever you're doing and using physical therapy, find what you want to do, find somebody who's excellent at it, and go keep knocking on their door until they let you hang out and start like mentoring and observing with them. Because I think mentorship is invaluable. And whether it's learning how to be a part of the federal aspects of it or getting involved in leadership and APTA. If you want to do that, find somebody who's in leadership and start learning what it took them to get to that level. It's just whatever makes you happy, do it.
Ryan Johnson, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. It was really nice talking.
You've been listening to Finding My Way. New episodes of this 10-part series will be released each week into 2018. You can find other episodes of this series on iTunes by searching APTA Podcasts or by visiting www.apta.org/findingmyway. Students, we have more resources just for you at the Pulse blog at www.apta.org/pulse. You can also follow APTA's Student Assembly accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at APTASA. If you're enjoying this series, please rate us on iTunes, give us a share on social media, or email us at web@apta.org with feedback and ideas. I'm Jason Bellamy. Thanks for listening.
This is an APTA podcast.